Hey, I'm sorry I can't do the show today, but I just want to quickly plug my movie, Fury 7.
Then?
Is that cool?
Why did you come by if you can't stay to talk about Gilmore Girls?
It's on the way to Amoeba. I'm going to buy Ludacris' new record.
That's nice that you support him, even though you could probably get like a free copy.
Well, I got to support him with family.
Episode 315. It's the face-off. Nicolas Cage.
Damn it, wish he was.
Damn it, Taylor.
No Travolta either. Scientology is super weird.
Welcome to Gilmore Guys. I'm Kevin.
I'm Demi.
And we are the Gilmore Guys.
Achieving a gorgeous grin from home isn't a total mystery with Bite Clear aligners. Just don't be surprised if all of your sleuthing friends start asking, what's your secret? Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. Bite Clear aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
And you know what? Wait, did you see Going Clear?
I didn't yet.
Because I was about to speak on behalf of both of us.
Like, go for it.
Let's make a stand against Scientology. No,
Look, I got pals in Scientology. They're paying my bills.
Dude.
I'm kidding.
Pals in Scientology. A few items of business to get to, guys. This is the first episode we're recording since we've booked it, but we are doing a live show. It's happening. The live show is going to be a season 3 finale spectacular that we're calling Gilmore Guys Live, : a Stars Hollow town meeting.
Yeah.
And we're going to be doing that at the UCB Sunset Theater. I know we probably plugged it on another show at this point because we probably dropped it in and edited it in. But just a little reminder, we want to try to sell this one out because if we do, then there's a chance that we might be able to get to do more shows like it in the future.
We definitely do want to do more live shows. A lot of people have been responding saying, like, come to so-and-so, come to so-and-so,
come to Brazil.
It's always Brazil.
Yep.
And we love that you guys want to see us in different places, but we got to do it at home first to see if it'll work at all. So
that's true. That's an interesting point is like, it'll work in the sense that it'll function.
Right,
like
it's gonna be great.
We won't just like go on stage and pee ourselves and forget words.
Rory.
But yeah, it would be rad because I feel like there's a lot of people we could do it for on the East Coast. That'd be a lot of fun. And definitely in Texas as well. So maybe we could. We still don't know.
Just those places.
Yeah, just Texas, New York. All the
Wyoming,
other flyovers can go F themselves. But then also another item of business to get to is we got a beautiful little cross stitch, and the show pic will be us posing with this. A beautiful cross stitch of the classic titular soundboard that I'm going to keep building up
titular.
Until I... No, it's not really... That's not really descriptive. But the classic soundboard...
Nice chicken.
We got a cross stitch of that in the mail from Janelle Bousquet. Yeah, Janelle Bousquet. She sent it from New York City. She's a listener from there, and it is a gorgeously framed, gorgeously put together cross stitch.
Really is a nice, just.
It's a nice chicken.
It's a nice chicken.
I mean, guys, dare I say it, but it's a
nice chicken.
Yeah.
Nice chicken.
It's a nice, nice chicken. My single is dropping. It's dropping. So thank you, Janelle, so much for that. But now, before we go any further and dilly-dally around and be like, oh, let's talk about Jess or all that off-topic stuff you don't care about, like Gilmore Girls.
Yeah, forget that.
We got to give it up to the fans
because
at the end of the day, it's all about the fans, man. All about the fans.
All about the fans.
No treble. So let's do it right now. This is the iTunes review challenge. We're continuing it. We did it with special guest Lauren Lapkus on the previous episode. We got to do it again for all you beautiful people out there.
Do we have a special guest today? Maybe. You'll see.
Yeah, maybe. Yeah, we'll see. We'll see. We will actually find out if we have a special guest or not.
Yeah.
But Demi, In the meantime, let's drop this sick beat.
I'm glad you said that.
Ooh.
You go first, Kev Bot.
Kimber Satter. Oh, yeah. Nattery. Yeah. GW22, thank you for reviews.
JM656, thanks for being here, leaving us a review. Fast 6. That was a movie I was in.
Annalise Gam. Oh, damn. Oh, damn. We like the way that you review our show, and we want you to feel it and know. KateH422. Amy_Martin, yeah, you. Manda Maloney, you're not full of baloney because you said nice things and it had a nice ring to it.
Gabby W22, that's 2 2s, like too fast, too furious, and oh, I love you. T-Gop, thanks for being you there. You're the best. Morgan the Horror, you make me go rawr, rawr, the car.
Happy Camera 13, you are so kind because you are not mean. Then there's Rarsar. Rar, rar.
Yeah.
Rhymes with car in a bar, in a jar. It's a gum so far. Brit loves cheese. Oh, please. Sorry. I stepped over you, Vin Diesel. Families.
Don't do it again. Easy R25. You make me feel alive like when I'm in the car and I drive. Jersey girl for life. Life ain't as long as you think. You know, when you're behind the wheel of a car, it can be anytime you think. J-Bo 21. That's when I'm going to stop the franchise. Fast 21. That's the last one. You're here for us. Go.
TS212. Oh, yeah. Walton 1996. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
The Sarah Lard. Laird?
Laird.
Oh, no. I butchered it. I'm the mayor.
Jerry Seinfeldish. What's the deal with you? What's the deal with me? I'm driving and I'm having a great time. Tracy G, you're the one for me. You make me think I'm Tokyo drifting, but I'm standing still, see?
We've got one more shout out to give, and it's the best one I claim as long as I live. Rookie P12, you won't go to hell. You're gonna go to heaven.
Fast 7.
Now. Do you not know the name of your own movie, Vin?
It changed a few times in development.
Well, thanks for dropping by again, Vin.
I gotta go.
Okay, bye. Demi, dude, you missed it.
No, I just saw him on the... Was that Vin Diesel?
Yeah.
Sorry, I went to the bathroom. Did we do the review wrap yet?
We did the wraps. I wanted to start it because we're kind of running behind. He was there... Yeah, you missed it. He was really good. I mean, he kept plugging all of his own movies that definitely don't need plugs.
What movies? Like Find Me Guilty or The Iron Giant or Saving Private Ryan?
Yeah.
Or Multiracial or Fast and Furious? Fast and the Furious? Too Fast, Too Furious? Too Fast, Too Furious, Tokyo Drift?
No.
Fast and the Furious? Fast 5?
I think he did the Nanny one. What's the one?
Oh, The Pacifier.
Yeah, The Pacifier.
Yeah, I've seen all his movies.
Yeah. Anyway, cool raps. Thank you for all the people who left reviews on iTunes for that. Keep them coming, and we'll be humming your name, because you are not lame. Oh, yeah.
Now you get good rapping, huh?
Now.
No, I'm kidding.
I know. We always go to, like, I feel like when we do the raps, it's always heaven and hell, review rhymes with you. Like, there's certain
Thank
things.
You.
I think we should, like, before the next one, this rhyme more just for me, like, just come up with a list of you can't do this rhyme.
Yeah.
You have to do another rhyme and see what happens.
Or just, like, have Rhyme Zone on standby and just, like, type really fast.
Yeah. Oh, that'd be good.
That would be very difficult.
Or even we could, like, write it ahead of time. No, that's dumb.
That's not in the spirit.
That's not in the spirit. And speaking of the spirit, speaking of segues... Let's talk about episode 315, baby.
Speaking of segues, let's slowly zoom forward into episode 315.
Zoom, zoom, zoom.
Yeah, zoom, zoom,
yeah,
zoom.
Yeah, zoom, 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 zoom. This is episode 315, Face Off. The nice. Title explanation, like, what would the... Oh, yeah, that's such a good line. That is a legitimately enjoyable movie.
It is. It's great.
Yeah. Like, for the campiness and stuff. The Netflix synopsis is, tired of waiting for Jess to call and make plans for the weekend, Rory goes to a hockey game with Lane, where she sees Dean and his new girlfriend.
Yeah, I don't know what the title's about. And also...
I guess Face Off is like Emily and Trix kind of face off at one point. But even that is... It feels... week to kind of base the title around it.
Yeah.
Is there any other facing
How do you feel about the synopsis?
The synopsis is totally lopsided, whereas I would probably focus more on Trix in the synopsis, or at least give her a little shout out. But yeah, tired. It's just like a weird It's like a weird English class sentence. Tired of waiting for Jess to call, Rory goes to a hockey game. Like, it's like all the clauses and stuff, all the Santa Clauses. But let's get into the discussion with a little segment we call Pop
Ghost
the
Culture,
where we take every pop culture reference in the show and put them in a supercut and see what we can make of it. This is episode 315, Face Off, Pop Ghost Culture.
Good plan. Bay of Pigs, was that yours too? The Beach Boys said it best. None of the guys go steady because it wouldn't be right to leave their best girls home on a Saturday night.
Remember the drill instructor in Full Metal Jacket?
You still haven't asked for the Gloria Vanderbilt jeans and the convertible rabbit.
Yes, because we usually give our guests the towels we've stolen from the Holiday Inn.
Well, I admit it's not exactly the plot of Hoosiers, but...
A mighty fortress.
It's because I caught some of love in the afternoon the other day. The movie?
We went on a field trip to Mark Twain's house. And-
really? You don't get breaks? Do you get food? Water? Should I get Michael Moore on the phone? Where do you think the Susan Faludis of the world came from?
It's like a play by Moliere. I wonder if he was wearing Nikes also.
Just do it. Takes on a whole new meaning, doesn't it?
There's two fellas and there's a fellow.
I got tickets to the distillers.
I can't believe Richard's like all giggly about the idea that his mother-in-law is like seeing someone.
That this is a rare moment, I think, where you see Richard let his guard down.
Yeah.
Where he's not putting on airs, and he's not even being like, even when he's being authentic in other scenes, but this is the first time he's like, can you believe this shit?
Yeah, 315 and 316, he does that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Totally. Yeah, which is enjoyable. He has that real high-pitched voice in that scene. Let me see if I can find it.
I guess I've got a new daddy.
It's like a play by Moliere.
It's like a play by Moliere. Yeah, so that was really fun to see.
Grown adult saying daddy is always weird to me. So his line about,
because I've got a new daddy, is like, ooh.
Yeah, especially when he's in his like late 50s, early 60s in the show.
Papa,
father.
Papa.
Oh, man. I mean, I guess you could say that that line.
It's obscene.
Did we play that when it came up? That was the last episode, right?
No, it was this one.
Oh, really?
This is, the one with Trix and the man in the tracksuit.
Oh, yeah. I thought that was Emily talking about Jess at dinner.
No. This is one of the old biddies that Trix is...
It's obscene!
It's obscene!
It just sounds like a Monty Python sketch, doesn't it?
Everything those women did was like a Monty Python sketch. When they all gasp in reaction, like...
Emily.
Oh, man. Do you remember the clue I gave you, like, last season? Or whenever we met Trix, when I'm like, she definitely comes back. Here's your hint. Tracksuit. Do you remember that?
No, I don't.
Okay, well, it happened.
Was it me thinking that she was in a tracksuit?
Yeah, I think you did. And then I was like, no, but I don't want to give it away.
She's the newest member of Run DMC or something.
Yeah, I wonder where she met that man.
Jogging club.
Yeah, she's part of the jogging club.
Oh, that's Korn's manager, actually.
Well, because they often wear tracksuits. That's actually
they do?
A listener named Cassie. She pointed this out on our Facebook Q&A.
Facebook Q&A.
She pointed out there was the question was, does Trix have a thing for tracksuits? What would that fetish even be called? Is her penchant for tracksuits the reason she loved Korn so much and thought they were delightful tenants?
Word up.
And then under that question, she put a picture of Korn in their tracksuits. And I got to tell you, it's pretty beautiful. Let me find it for you.
Oh, is this what you wanted to show me?
No, there was actually something else. But keep blabbering on about whatever you want to talk
about.
By the way,
the fetish for tracksuits is known as jogophilia.
This is Korn. This is actually Korn in their tracksuits.
Okay, yeah, I believe that.
Yeah.
They all look like Justin Theroux's character in Zoolander, the DJ.
Yes. Justin Theroux, Mr. Jennifer Aniston?
Mr. Aniston.
Is he still, are they still?
Yeah.
Okay, cool.
You know, I went to their house once.
Is that true?
Mm-hmm.
For what?
I dropped something off when I was working at Red Hour, but I was there for like 20 minutes.
Wow.
Good house.
Well, I would imagine.
Yeah. It's not one of those rinky-dink houses.
It's not one of them rinky-dink shackety shacks. I enjoyed this episode. This was not written by Amy or Dan. This episode was written by John Stevens.
John Stamos?
Stevens.
Stamos?
Surely you're talking about the Fuller House reboot.
Of course I am.
Oh, my gosh.
I can't wait.
John Stevens and directed by Mr. Kenny Ortega. of Newsies fame.
He that directed explains all the Newsies. Dancing.
Yeah, all the dancing. All the dancing they do around the sexual tension, am I right?
That's true.
Mm.
Good one, Kev.
Oh, wow. Gosh. You know, there are some episodes where you watch it and you're like, man, just when I think I couldn't like Jess more, I have another reason to.
To like Jess more?
Oh, yeah.
In this episode?
When he shows up and he says, I'm not the kind of guy that lives by your schedule. To Lorelai, I'm just like, you know what, Jess? I had you wrong. You've turned me around.
This is a late April Fool's. What's happening?
Yeah.
Okay.
I'm J.K. Rowling right now. No,
you're being real.
He's a piece of garbage in this episode. He's totally a D-bag. And buying the tickets at the end of the episode doesn't automatically make everything okay.
My first thought was, what if she's got plans?
Yeah.
And it doesn't make everything okay. If anything, I'd just be like, hey, this is great, but you should still read the message I left for you, because it doesn't, like, nothing's different.
Yeah, she was like, oh, forget, she pulls a Larry David, and she's like, oh, delete the message.
Delete the message!
Delete the message!
Delete the message!
No, that's Seinfeld.
Yeah.
But he did, that was, visually. Do you know what I'm talking about?
Yeah.
He did, George did on the show, but then Larry David did it in real life to someone.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, I thought it happened in Curb, but that's crazy.
Oh, maybe it's possible it happened in both.
I feel like everything that's happened in Curb has probably happened to Larry David in real life.
Same. Same as in it's also happened to me in real life. But yeah, I enjoyed it. It was good seeing Trix again. And really the meat and the thing, because I feel like there's always like one or two things in an episode that are like, that put it in the, it's the difference between a 7 and an 8. Because if a show's good, it's a 7, right? That's kind of like our baseline of like, it was good, did everything it needed to,
right.
Wasn't spectacular, but it was good. But then there's certain things that make it an 8. And part of maybe why this might be an 8, I don't want to give it away and spoil it, is Emily's utter glee and joy at finding tricks and just going off. I came very close to soundboarding the whole thing, but just certain lines like,
I don't know if he was hot. Your grandmother's sucking face was blocking my view.
Just the way she ends, like, my view. It's like, so she's so self-satisfied and happy with that.
I know.
It's great.
Kelly Bishop does not say lines. She makes meals out of them, and she hits them in certain ways that just like wring everything out of it.
Yeah,
like the way she says bookie in this next one.
Yes, because she's embarrassed. She should be. He was dressed like a bookie.
Bookie. He is dressed like Jack Nicholson as the Joker. That's what he looks like.
Yeah, it is a purple. There, I don't know what's going on with that. I really want to know where.
Did you see the Bieber roast?
I think not yet.
That's
no.
What
it was referencing.
Was no, yeah, that's what it was referencing.
Wow. Wait, Bieber was dressed like...
He was wearing like a purple suit, like Jack Nicholson as the Joker. It was weird. He looked like American Psycho. Just a lot of...
You mean Jared Leto as the Joker?
Yes, yes.
Yeah, Jack Nicholson. You're talking about the guy from One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest.
Right, that's my bad.
Yeah. Talking about my bad.
Don't point to me. I'm not singing it.
Oh, man. Yeah, there's a lot to like in this. There is a little, you know, it's not totally fillery because, it's not totally fillery Clinton because there are like developments with Dean. Dean gets a girlfriend. You see,
he's got himself a little Zooey Deschanel.
A new girl.
I knew it. I saw it. You did a me.
I did a you.
Oh yeah. So this is the first episode in which we meet Lindsay, who was, you know, is not a new girl to town because her and Rory knew each other.
Right.
She brought her the Mark Twain keychain.
So she does come back.
She does come back. Yes, I'll say that.
That's one thing I like about the show. When they bring in characters is like, oh, they're probably not important, but we need you to see that stuff is happening outside of the main characters. Even if they're just using them, like, as a tool, they keep them in for a few episodes. Like, with Shane, it wasn't just like, oh, Jess is with someone else. That's established. Get her out of there. It was
right.
Like, she's here for, like, 5 episodes.
Mm-hmm, totally. And I guess, I mean, what I was going to rebut with is, like, Alex, Sheriff Twilight, is not... He was in 3 episodes he's made mention in this episode, but then he's donezo.
Because he got big. He got famous.
Yeah, he got real big and
just
famous.
Just skyrocketed to #1 status.
Yep. That's how you earned that special appearance credit.
His IMDb star meter took off after this.
Did you like how Luke said "Wow" like a cougar again in the teaser?
Wow!
I didn't soundbite it, but we can all use our collective imaginations, or just go back to that scene. When Emily threatens them to play charades, when Lorelai and Rory are really scarfing it down at dinner, I really want to see Emily and Richard play charades.
I wrote that same thing down. Yeah. I wish they played charades.
Like, stay, play charades. Because that's when Lorelai goes home to get ready for a date with Sheriff Twilight. And then Rory goes home and does nothing because Jess
doesn't
call.
She didn't do nothing. She did homework. She cleaned. She found out like different, I don't know, paint patterns. I don't know what she was doing. But it was all very sad stuff. Yeah.
And we got another technology shout out in that next scene where they're walking through Stars Hollow.
Yeah, she's talking about deleting files she downloaded.
Yeah. Makes the CPU cleaner, some like mumbo jumbo. Some nonsense.
The net drive was way faster now.
Yeah, the net drive was accelerated beyond my wildest dreams. Dean's cleaning up the TP'd school, and he seems pretty stoked about it. He's like, hey, you know, when Dean, they cut to him waving, he's like, sup?
Dean is kind of like Kirk now, in that every episode we find out something new that he does. We didn't find out when he was with Rory. Like, he plays hockey now. He was a construction worker. I don't know where all these new things are coming from. He's just changed again once he broke up with Rory.
Yeah, that is an interesting thing. And I feel like if you're playing hockey, that's not something you just pick up in your last year at school, right? You would have to play that a lot.
I played hockey for 4 years.
You did?
I did.
Oh, were you good?
I got better over time.
You got better. So that was a weird thing. And also, I think it's very odd. Like, we were talking about in That'll Do Pig.
Right, from Charlotte's Web.
Yeah, from Charlotte's Web. That the whole thing was like, hey, I'm going to be Rory's friend, just like you were Rory's friend. And that turned out pretty good, huh? Welcome to the OC, bitch, or whatever he says. And in this one, he's like, oh, how's Jess? And he's like a normal person asking about it. And he has a girlfriend. All of that's dropped. That is not Lindsay. I'll just spoil it for you right now. You don't find out later on that Lindsay is like, I'm going to use Lindsay as a way to get back with Rory, blah, 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 blah. Like, it's not part of a larger strategy.
Right.
So they set that up. And I wonder if there's a decision made between that episode and during the episodes in between that one and this one where it's like, no, we don't really want to see that. That seems repetitive. That
I think
seems
so.
Weird. Yeah.
And I think that they kind of, because they started building Jess as like this character that needed to be redeemed, so they couldn't have a thing where he was like getting jealous about Dean, you know?
Right. I loved all the hep alien business in this one.
I did too. Oh my God.
So
them
good.
Arguing about the word bulwark is great.
I'm telling you, dude, it doesn't make any sense.
Fine, stop yelling at me. I didn't write it.
Whoa. What's wrong? This stupid song, man. For still our ancient foe doth seek to work us woe. I mean, who talks like that? The Pope?
Dude, is any of those lemon poppies in?
Well, can't you just update it a little?
Sure, man. Just tell me what the hell it means. It's like in Latin or something.
I thought there was going to be coffee, too.
Dude, can you chill out about your freaking 11Cs till we get this song straightened out?
I'm hypoglycemic. If I don't get something in my system, I'm going to crash.
Is Abadeth a word?
So good. Although, in that scene, I thought it was... Yep. What?
I know what you're going to say, but yeah.
The gay thing?
The gay thing.
Yeah.
It says, a bulwark never failing.
I think it's a wall.
Then why don't they just say that? Bulwark sounds totally gay.
I don't think you're supposed to call him gay. It's like a sin or something.
Whatever, man. I'm not saying bulwark.
Which is like, well, maybe you don't call anything that's not homosexual gay. Right?
No, you can call your friends gay. I'm kidding. I'm kidding.
Pinot Noir.
The song they play though is really funny because when they change it, because he starts not wanting to say bulwark, he just says like wall and like saying like the thing comes down and it's so great.
I think they're all really really good together. Like the way
Zach is a terrible singer, but
you know
they play well.
You think he's a bad singer?
Yeah,
I think he's good for what the band is, a punk band, and when you see them do like shows, not just like ruses for Mrs. Kim.
Yeah.
That's when his voice works.
Okay, then he's probably just a bad Christian trio singer.
Yeah.
It's also totally. So funny that they cannot have the drums because that's what Lane plays.
Yeah.
So it's just like three guitarists.
Yeah, well, it's hard to... That's, you know, that's what Mrs. Kim was talking about when she said...
Maybe I book your combo sometime. Mix it up a little.
Mix it up a little.
Mix it up a little. Oh, so fun. So they do that. And you know what? Their harmonies were good there in that last scene. At Mrs. Kim's, the insert shot though was super weird. Of it shows kind of their POV and just pans across all the faces in Mrs. Kim's place.
Yeah,
where everyone's just like yeah, and then there's like one guy that's smiling weirdly. And yeah, I wonder. I guess that's how it goes down. I don't know. I'm not a Seventh-day Adventist, and I never will be, Mom. If you're listening, just kidding,
Mom. If you're listening, I'm open to it.
I think you claimed on a show previously that you were a Scientologist, so...
That is correct. I am a Scientologist, loud and proud. Go clear.
Can I get a wah-wah? All right. Also, I think, Matt, see, just Trix is such a great... Trix is a fun character by herself, but then the best characters make other characters different. They throw different shades onto that character. So for Emily, you get to see her play gleeful and kind of evil... in a way that's not apologetic, like, finally, I have hand, finally, blah, 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 blah.
Yeah.
But then you also get to see her when she goes to the inn, to the Independence Inn, where she's like,
I'm not allowed to go home.
The way she enters the scene at the inn, she literally rises up into frame like a vampire. It's great.
Yeah.
I know that wasn't, like, purposefully done to be funny, but it's hilarious.
It was really funny, though. Yeah. So that's good. And I like that the first person that Emily asks about, too, is Michelle. Because they're definitely like...
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
They are
going to Pound Town. She's such a little kid. I love it in that scene. Did you like when Mrs. Kim takes a picture of Lane and her fake boyfriend? She says, don't smile.
No, I didn't like that at all. Poor Lane.
Oh, man. And then Mrs. Kim says, next time, bring a tambourine. You have no tambourine? Bring a tambourine next time. Which is a weird thing. And like, I feel like that's a big punchline in Christian culture. Is like, oh, it's a Christian band. I bet there's a tambourine player. Ha ha ha. So I wonder if that's as mainstream as I think it is. Suki has one scene in this episode where she just drops off pots and pans, right? Is she in other scenes?
Oh my God. No, she's not. I was trying to think of her in this episode at all, but I guess she really has the one scene.
I mean, the way they excluded her from this episode,
it's obscene.
It's obscene.
those old ladies felt Daniel Palladino-esque, just kind of how nutty they were and kind of how out there they were.
They look like Miss Havisham in the South Park parody of Great Expectations, just all these like weird, it's almost emotionless old women all dressed the same. They look like mirrors of each other.
Well, should we get into the fashion report?
I think we should.
Fashion. Someone pointed out, and I got to concur, Trix is kind of just dressed perpetually. Well, like a Wes Anderson character for one. She's always in that outfit. And then two, she looks like Tweety Bird's owner. From Looney Tunes.
Yes, right? Yes.
Like the ensemble is totally Tweety Bird's owner.
I was
going to
say Mom from Futurama.
Yes, yeah. Totally. But which also looks like Tweety Bird. Yeah, Tweety Bird's mom. Jess is wearing that dumb white t-shirt with the skulls lining the logo and then long sleeves underneath it. And he looks stupid and I hate him. This became less about fashion.
He looks like a dumb idiot head. Suki's still wearing her magic eye t-shirt, which looks like a koi pond in the lobby of a bank.
Which makes sense because she makes feast for the mouth at the end, so why not wear something that's a feast for the eyes?
Okay. Emily's got this like Carl Sagan brown turtleneck that she wears when talking to Lorelai at the end. Looks good.
Yeah.
And Lorelai's got this matching brown beige coat. Also looks good. A lot of good looking things.
Good looking things.
Lorelai's gingham coat is back.
A gingham coat. I gotta be honest, I only wrote down three things. I wrote down Tweety Bird's owner, the dumb t-shirt, and then the jogging suit.
Do we have anything to say about Ducey's red sweater? Because it popped into frame, and I was like, I gotta think of something to say about this.
Well, and then you notice all the red throughout the rest of the episode. It's like when his family's there.
Mm-hmm. At the rink.
You know, I did kind of feel sad for him when his brother was kind of shitting all over his
plans. I felt sad, but I was also like, kind of feels good to know that Luke has some co-conspirators in the Ducey family.
Yeah, yeah. But it made me feel like, oh, maybe he's the way he is because his brothers were, like, mean to him or something.
I don't want to believe that. I don't want to give Ducey a storyline that makes me sympathetic to him.
Give who a storyline?
Moose. Deuce.
You've said Ducey twice.
Yeah. Oh, wow. It's Dozy. God. Whatever. I don't want to get corrections department stuff about this.
I didn't even correct you on the first one.
I'm glad you eventually did because I would have never caught the end of that.
You would have never seen the other end of that lollipop or whatever. All right, and
welcome to Deuce Sport.
That's been the fashion report.
Fashion,
baby. Other stuff. Okay, so all the Jess stuff is like just like the Swan Song episode before. This, like, I really want to understand, and I really want to be neutral. And I think you and I have done a pretty good job of like, oh yeah, he was likable in this scene. I like this. I like the way he interacted with Kirk, where he's like, read a book, you know, where he's just kind of like slightly irritable, but not hateful, and not just a big jerk face.
Yeah.
But in this one and in Swan Song, where he demonstrates a complete lack of levity and lightness and self-perception and the ability to laugh about himself and laugh with other people and share that. In this one, he reveals that and also that he lies to Rory at the end of it. The revelation is not, oh, it was a swan. It's, I was throwing the football around. In this one, we see him not communicate, treat Rory like dirt. And then she gets manipulated by it, but at the end, and she's like, okay, yeah. Oh, he showed up, you know, he shows up at the end of the hockey game, sitting on the hood of his car.
Right.
Drinking warm beer in the soft summer rain.
How long do you think he was sitting out there too?
Oh, it must have been, I'm going to say he got there like 30 minutes before.
Yeah.
And he was just looking at the side of a building.
She doesn't come out soon. I'm going to leave. I'm going to the distillers myself.
Oh. How did he even know that she was still in there is the other thing.
I got faith in my girl. I know she loves hockey. I know she loves staying to the fourth period.
Oh, I like this, Jess.
Yeah.
This is fun.
Ain't it grand being in love and so young?
So young and in love. That's another Bruce Springsteen song.
I know. I love Springsteen.
Because I am Springsteen.
I'm Rocky ground. Rocky ground.
I really wish I would have soundboarded the part where he shows up to Rory's and he's like, and he's talking to Lorelai and he's like, I don't live by a schedule. I'm not the kind of guy who lives by a schedule.
That conversation was so frustrating from both sides because, like, Lorelai was starting to lean on, like, you were lucky to have Dean, and I was like,
Oh, yeah. When she starts comparing Jess and Dean.
Yeah.
I think, even still, I'm not a Dean apologist, but I do apologize for him. Just kidding.
He was a good first boyfriend. She's not wrong about that.
In season one, he was top notch before they like had to make him different.
Yeah.
Except for the I love you thing, and we got into that. We don't need to revisit
and all his anger issues therefore.
Why? After. But even the way in this episode, Dean, an ex-boyfriend who is now just a platonic friend, said hi to Rory while he just skated by. He saw her, waved at her or whatever, made eye contact. And in this episode, he shows more communication skills. I'm not saying it's great. I'm just saying in this episode, he shows more communication skills and the ability to make Rory feel valued more so than Jess does.
Yeah.
I know Jess knows who Bjork is, for whatever that's worth, but Dean treats her like a human being.
And by the way, fellas, you gotta know who Bjork is.
Guys, get on Bjork.
Get on Bjork.
I'm talking human behavior. I'm talking that one episode, the one music video where the robots have sex with each other.
I'm talking the duck suit at the VMAs or whatever award show. I'm talking Volnicura.
Oh, the duck suit, which sounds like duck soup by the Marx Bros.
Yeah.
That song was called I've Seen It All, I think, because I remember going, I've seen it all. I've seen it all.
I've seen it all.
Yeah. Yeah, that's pretty good.
Yeah. Boys, get your damn Bjork impressions in line, too, because the ladies love it.
Because then your girlfriend will break up with you.
Please don't break up with me. I can do a great Bjork impression.
Woo! I mean, it's kind of Bjork waltz.
Look, it's enough.
Christoph Bjork waltz. But
Bjork waltz. That's the name of the dance they do. God, I can't think of the play with the duck. Never mind.
The play with the duck?
There's a play with a duck in it.
Oh, Howard the Duck.
Yes, yep. That's what I'm thinking.
Classic play.
That's when we do the duck waltz.
I get that Rory doesn't want or didn't want at the time, because like we talked about, Dean got way too clingy, and the reality of the show, he got way too like, come to my softball game. He made no mention of hockey games, but he said, come to my softball game.
Right.
Come to this, come
Did
to that.
Did he quit but, softball for hockey?
Oh, maybe, because the pain was too much. And I understand that you don't want a lap dog. You don't want someone that's just like, yeah, I have no
What's
plans.
Lap dog?
Nothing much. What's lap with you?
You don't want a lap dog. That's correct.
But you want someone that like at least makes the effort to appear like they want you.
Yeah.
Which Jess has trouble. And then his justifications are so, you know, I got off late and then I didn't call. And then blah, 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 blah. I just want to slap him across the mouth. I'm sorry. I'm sorry to everyone who loved him, but I feel like I'm in the right about this. How do you feel about it?
I'm Team Jess. I'm kidding. I'm kidding. If I just threw you that blind side and you're like, okay, well, I'm drowning now.
Yep.
No, I agree completely. I think he's being a huge ass. I feel like he's really flippant about this girl that he's now in a relationship with, that he dumped someone else to be in a relationship with, that he like fought for months to essentially get.
Put a plan into motion, yeah. Basically, yeah.
It almost feels like now his whole plan was like, I gotta get that girl just because I hate that guy and I don't really care about her, but I hope we have sex one day.
Which goes kind of to Sarah Ramos's theory that the most sexual chemistry is between Jess and Dean.
Yeah.
That they don't love Rory as much as they hate each other.
Exactly.
Which makes sense. This episode of the podcast is brought to you by Squarespace. Now, unlike anything I've ever talked about on the air, I actually stand by Squarespace. I actually do, because I've used it for everything I've made. Literally, GilmoreGuysShow.com, the very website for this very podcast, was made using Squarespace. How beautiful is that? KevinTPorter.com, I made that using Squarespace. My old bake shop website, that was made using Squarespace. Because you can do it all with Squarespace. You can sell content on your website. So exclusive stuff behind a paywall. You can sell memberships, courses, or sell files your customers can download, like PDFs, music, or eBooks. You can do that with Squarespace. You can do analytics with Squarespace. So you can figure out who's visiting your website and why. And figure out how to get traffic and where's it coming from. You can also have people do flexible payments on Squarespace. Make checkout seamless for your customers with simple but powerful payment tools. Accepts credit cards, PayPal, Apple Pay, and in eligible countries, offer customers the option to buy now and pay later with Afterpay and ClearPay. How nice is that? You can also do email campaigns, so there's constant outreach for your stuff and people know where to find you. So I'm going to let you know where to find Squarespace. Head to squarespace.com for a free trial, and when you're ready to launch, go to squarespace.com/GilmoreGuys to save 10% off your first purchase of a website or a domain. That's squarespace.com/GilmoreGuys. This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. Now let's talk about your social battery. Maybe right now it's bursting at the seams with energy. Maybe it's a little drained. Maybe you're one of those people like my friend with their phone battery that keeps it 2% all the time, even when they stay home all day. And they definitely could charge up if they wanted to, but they don't. Well, regardless of where it is, it's important to understand why it is the way it is. Why is the battery low when it gets low? Is it because you're feeling less social? Is it because you're feeling sad? Is it because of emotions you've yet to identify? Or maybe just boundaries you haven't set for yourself yet?
Either way, it can be easy to ignore our social battery and spread ourselves too thin, especially with social gatherings picking up after the winter. What's the right amount of socializing for you? How do you recharge? Maybe you thrive around people, maybe you don't. Maybe you need a little more alone time. Well, either way, therapy can give you the self-awareness to build a social life that doesn't drain your battery. This is so important because I've been in therapy for 10 plus years, for some would say, technically, 11 years this month, and it's helped me so much understand where I get my energy from, how I use my energy, how to better use my energy, and how to maintain things in a way that's sustainable and healthy and good. And that's to do, of course, with boundaries, but also just understanding who I am and what I want. And I couldn't have done so much of that work without therapy. So if you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. You just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist, and you can switch therapists at any time for no additional charge. Find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/GilmoreGuys today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/GilmoreGuys.
You know, Dean's choice of Lindsay, we don't get a good sense of her in this episode, but like, what is your first impression, first thought of her? Because I'll spoil it, you do see her in other episodes.
My first impression of her was kind of, it's set up unfairly though, because I feel like our first impression is like, something's wrong with this lady.
Yeah, it's very antagonistic from the bat.
But I mean, I don't have a problem with her. I wish that it wasn't set up in a way that you almost feel like Dean's told Rory some things. You know, because it feels like when she meets her, she's like, oh, hey, you know, hey. Like, she kind of Dean has told Lindsay some things.
Right.
It feels like it's not just, oh, you used to date the guy I'm currently dating. It feels like, oh, you used to date that guy, and he's told me some things. And I'm like, oh, I don't like that at all.
Mm-hmm.
But otherwise, you know, she's fine.
Yeah, she's okay.
She's taller than Maury.
She's tall. As Richard would say. Oh, you're fine. Don't apologize for the obscene hand gesture you just made towards me.
The hand gesture that I would say, would you say, it's obscene?
Well, I wouldn't say it's obscene. I would say,
it's obscene!
Yeah, that's right. Did you like Babette and Miss Patty singing the national anthem?
What? Wait, did I miss that?
Dude. Babette and Miss Patty sang the national anthem at the hockey game.
What happened to me that I just did not remember that at all?
I don't know. It was at the top of it. That's what established it. That's the first thing you see.
Great. Good.
At the hockey game.
You
missed it. And you know what? I checked in with friend of the show, Helen Pye, about it and confirmed that it was actually them and their actual singing voices. And I believe they did it live on the set. They did not do a pre-record.
I believe that.
Of it, which is really cool. And the funny thing, dude, I can't believe you did. You know what? This is too egregious. I have to find this and
take a quick break.
Yeah, I mean, no, we'll just do it live.
And the rockets red glare, the bombs burn.
So this is Babette and Miss Patty. Bum, 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 bum.
Oh, say does that star-spangled banner yet wave?
Here's what I find interesting about this.
And the
home of the brave.
Play hockey.
I literally don't know what I could have been doing that I missed that.
I don't know, because that's a good... It's not just like a 5-second thing. It's more than 5 seconds, dude.
Yeah.
My math's not wrong. What I found interesting about that, too, is that Sally Struthers' singing voice does not resemble Babette's speaking voice. It's not like... It's very smooth. And so now I'm wondering how much of Babette is an affectation. Because I assumed that it was like, oh, that's kind of how she talks.
Yeah.
But now I'm like, I'm questioning everything, dude.
I don't know. That is weird, though.
Yeah, but yeah, if you listen to it again, It's smoother.
Although I feel
than
like
you
a lot
think.
Of people have singing voices that are different, that aren't necessarily an affectation. Just like the way that you sing makes your voice smoother, maybe. I don't know.
True. It's kind of how, like, when British people sing, they don't sing with a British accent.
Unless their accent is very strong.
Right. But for the most part, like, Elton John doesn't sound like a British guy on his stuff. Unless you think he does.
I don't.
Okay.
Benny and the Jets.
Paige Fernberg, we love Paige, she writes in, if Babette and Miss Patty started a band together, what would they be called?
Babby Patty.
Batty Patty?
Bab and Pat.
Oh, Bab and Pat.
I said Babby Patty, but that didn't make any sense.
Babby Booby. Baba Bibu. I'm going to say the Horn Dogs.
Yeah, the Horn Dogs.
And then Poop Doctor writes in, do you think Trix's boyfriend was hot enough for her? I don't. Trix can do better.
I was just going to say that. Trix can definitely do better.
I think so, too.
Than some old dude in a tracksuit.
Trix could do someone in her in his like 40s yeah. if she wanted to. I feel
Trix,
like
you should definitely go down, you know. Wait.
What? Excuse me.
Age-wise.
Yes.
Yes.
We would never advise and would never we would never advise anyone go down ever.
Don't do it. Trix could
date
someone.
Let's just make that blanket statement right now.
Trix could date someone a quarter of her age if she wanted to.
Oh, totally. Oh,
I'm talking, like, I can't think of one. Like Bruce Willis dating Mary Louise Parker in Red. That's
oh,
what
yeah,
Trix
that's
could
weird.
Do.
Although MLP is kind of, she's kind of older now. Although, you know, it's funny, someone did a little chart of the age gap in between Tom Cruise's romantic yeah. interests in the Mission Impossibles. Like, and from 1 to 5, it's like 1 year, 2 year, 10 years, 5 years, 21 years.
Oh, my God. But
it's the latest one.
Yeah, I think someone made that chart for George Clooney, too, and it just keeps getting, like, crazier.
Yep. Yeah, that's a bummer. Dub stands. Okay, so Jennifer Lentz writes in, is it really so shocking and out of character for Rory to be home on a Saturday night?
No.
Yeah. I don't think so either.
Yeah.
But Lorelai acts as if like, no, you're Ken, you need to go out, blah, blah, blah. And I feel like there was an episode in the prior season that was all about like the joys of being an introvert. And she ends up like back again, not a part of the Puffs, but like eating alone at the cafeteria table. So they kind of drop that, I guess. Harriet Rose Heath writes in and asks, have either of you ever owned a velour tracksuit?
No.
I want to.
Yeah, I was about to say, that's a regret of mine, though.
I want to own I want to own one of those classic, like, red Adidas tracksuits that you would see in, like...
Like the,
Like in the Royal Tenenbaums.
Or, Jason Sudeikis.
And what up with yeah. that? Yeah. Totally. Yeah, I was just thinking that.
E.G. loves Reese's Pieces.
He makes that sketch. That's,
he really does.
That's the best part of that sketch. So Sarah Noakes writes in and says, I really don't understand why Rory just couldn't call Jess herself or talk to him about why she's upset. And that's an interesting point because I was real raw and I was real hard on Jess. That sounds very sexual, but that he, you know, that's all on him, that it's his fault, that, you know, he's not communicating, la 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 la, but she could communicate too. And I think it speaks to both of their inabilities to communicate that this problem even exists. Yeah. Right.
Rory is very much the kind of person, like, if something's going wrong, she's just like, oh no, it's fine, it's fine. She wants to play cool.
Mm-hmm.
And especially with Jess, who is like the coolest, so she doesn't want to like fuck anything up, you know.
Sure.
Like, even when she's on the phone and she's laying her cards out, she's like very hesitant to say, like, if you can't like play this game, then I can't, like, then I won't either. She like weasels her way around saying like this won't work.
Mm-hmm. Wow. Someone on our Facebook said, Kevin, did your high school sweetheart dump you for a Jess? Your hatred for him seems so deeply rooted. And
did
the answer
jump for a Jess.
No. That guy's
Jess.
Name was, yeah, you know what? No, he definitely wasn't a Jess. I don't even feel like I got dumped for him. Doesn't matter. No, I don't feel like I've had too many entanglements with Jesses in my life. One of the Facebook Q&As is, speaking to what we were talking about before, Brittany Jewell writes in and says, this isn't a great episode for Jess, but neither is it a good episode for Rory. This is a great example of her proto-Bella-ness, completely passive. Why can't she call Jess to ask if they have plans? I think their immaturity shows on both sides, so it isn't fair to only blame Jess. On a separate note, at the end of the episode, when Lorelai and Richard get to joke about Emily and Gran, it's one of the few moments we actually get to see them spending time, just the two of them, which is nice. That relationship is always pushed aside, but I think it's as interesting as the one between Lorelai and Emily. There's just as much hurt on both sides, but even less communication, which ultimately makes it sadder. That's a good point. We didn't talk about, like, that it's kind of a rare moment of Richard and Lorelai smiling and laughing together. Because yeah. That happens from time to time with Emily, but with Lorelai and Richard, it's much less common.
It's beautiful when it happens with them, though.
Mm-hmm. Totally. And then Steph Galvin says, would season one Dean date Lindsay? I think season two Dean would. Obviously, in season three, Dean does.
Season two would.
Season two would, season one would not, is what I would say. And I think that speaks to one of the issues with the character of Dean on the writer's part. Sonia Valadez... Sonia Valadez, maybe the ending of this episode is ambiguous. Knowing what happens in the next episode, I think they are trying to allude at Rory having sex with Jess. Previously, Rory had told Lorelai that she was thinking of sex with Jess. Then later, there's a sort of suspense over if Rory's a virgin or not. I didn't read the episode ending at all that way, as Sonia did. I don't know if other people did and resonate with her interpretation of it. But the ending of it, I really, really did enjoy because I think it was one of those ambiguous kind of cable endings that I really like. Because she comes home and she, Laura's like, oh, I gotta tell you about the man, the tracksuit, blah, blah, blah. And then she goes to her room, doesn't say anything, and just kind of looking off, and she looks real sad. And I think that's speaking to the kind of hurt she felt that Dean is moving on. Because it wasn't real until Dean was with Lindsay.
Right.
And she saw that. And she was visibly hurt and upset by it.
It's really just kind of a look of like, oh, everything that's happened today has been very strange.
Yeah. Because I think she realizes that she can't stop. If I were to interpret that last look, maybe you can give your take on it too. Like that, the last look to me implies like, I don't want to compare the two of them to each other, but I can't stop, especially with, you know, what's happening. I think that happens to all of us whenever like an ex kind of gets into a relationship or progresses with another person. And,
well, of course.
Yeah.
I think that's exactly what it is because it's sort of set against the backdrop of that's why she called Jess in the first place, just to be like, I don't deserve this. Mm-hmm. I was spoiled and it sucks not being spoiled anymore, but also like it's not that bad of a thing to be spoiled.
I don't think she... Do you think she was, like,
no,
actually
No, I think she
spoiled?
Used the word spoiled just as a projection of what she thought Jess was thinking of her.
Right. Because she wasn't literally... Like, it wasn't like Dean... Like, spoiled implies, like, a negative thing where it's like she was a pretty, pretty princess.
Spoiled implies that she got a lot of stuff she didn't deserve.
Man, someone should have issued a spoiler alert on Dean. Because he's a spoiler. He's gonna spoil you.
Here's a spoiler alert. Theory 7's got a lot of them. That was a tweet from...
Oh, my gosh.
That was a tweet from, I think, Aparna Nantrila. Great
oh,
comedian.
Oh, yeah?
Good comedian.
Great comedian. Oh, you downgraded her from great to good.
Did I?
Two sentences. Well, you said great comedian. Good
great comedian.
Comedian.
Good comedian. Nice comedian. She's all right.
Let's talk about Trevor Noah's tweets real quick.
Oh, boy.
Just kidding.
I was like, I don't want to do that.
No, I don't want to either. And then otherwise, any stray observations before we go and fly off into the sunset? Oh, I wrote down in the scene where Emily's kind of walking around and singing to herself with all the old biddies.
Oh, yeah.
I wrote down, Emily looks kind of hot in this scene. I don't know what it says about me.
I think it's her attitude where she's walking around kind of like about... She's in murder mode is what I wrote down. She's humming and she's like walking around just making drinks. It's like she's going to poison one of those drinks is what I thought.
Oh, that would be...
That's the HBO revival.
Yeah, that would have been cooler. Yeah. That would have been the gritty reboot version, I guess. Straight observations.
This is the first episode they mentioned weed. Do you think Rory would ever smoke weed? Do you think Lorelai ever did smoke weed?
Wait, what was the weed mentioned?
She's talking about Brian Hutchins selling her a dime bag.
Oh, that's right. They don't name check weed, but yeah, I guess it's the first kind of mention. There's a big weed storyline coming up.
Is there? I can't wait.
100% for sure. That's coming.
And this show tackles the big stuff.
Yeah. Mary Louise Parker, baby. Weeds.
No, I got it.
Yep. calm down.
chill out.
Would Lorelai smoke weed? Lorelai definitely has smoked weed.
Oh, yeah. You know what is a great line is when Trix is talking and Emily's like, sorry about the tea. It's on its way, Mom. She goes, so is death. And then later Trix goes, you're interrupting nothing but thirst, my dear. Trix is ruthless.
Oh, you know what we didn't talk about? And I'm stupid for not bringing it up.
What?
Is my favorite scene of the episode was Trix and Emily together at the end. Was them talking to each other about what happened. So Emily comes into Trix's room where she's staying currently. She's got like a towel over her face because she's so traumatized from what happened. The reaction shots were so funny. Even like Richard, like for a moment, was not out of it. He was like, oh. And all the bigs were like, oh, Emily, Emily. I wish I had that soundboard. I should have made that. I'll put it in or something.
Emily!
I wouldn't have been surprised if one of them just had a heart attack.
Well, I'm dead. Emily goes to Trix's room, and she apologized and said, that wasn't right. I shouldn't have done that. I had no right. And you didn't tell people for a reason. And Trix's kind of mini monologue about the virtue of being married to one guy and honoring that, I found to be very touching. And I felt like was a nice... It didn't betray any sense of, like, properness of the character or kind of the stiffness. In fact, it kind of enhanced it and probably gave a window into it.
The thing I didn't like about it is that it sort of makes you sympathize with Trix while also not real, like making Trix realize that she is kind of really mean sometimes.
Well, that's when Emily says, I know something about being humiliated in front of my family.
Right, but Trix doesn't. Too. Trix doesn't like concede to that at all.
She just flips her off and she's like, shut up.
She's like, time to make tea. And then as she's walking up, she's like mad about it. So it seems like Trix didn't learn a damn thing.
Because, guys, Emily's heart is so big.
It really is.
And so beautiful.
She got a Grinch heart.
She does. Wait. Reverse Grinch?
No. The Grinch's heart went three sizes bigger.
Oh, at the end?
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah.
But in the song, it's three sizes too small.
You're a mean one.
I love that Vin Diesel song, You're a Mean One, Mr. Grinch.
You're a mean one, Mr. Grinch. You stole my fastest car. Now I'm driving this old Volvo. It doesn't go very far, Mr. Grinch. You took the NOS can out of my supercharged Chevy Volvo. And you gotta put it back.
Family.
Hey, just want to stop by. Sorry, I heard my name. I've been sitting outside for a bit.
Oh, Vin, thanks for coming back, man.
Bye.
Wait, Vin, do you see Melissa McCarthy out there?
Yeah, she's out here.
Wait, hang on. Let me ask you again. Let me clear my throat before I ask you again,
yeah,
Vin
go
Diesel.
For it, I guess.
Do you see Melissa McCarthy out there?
I do see her out here.
Hi, I'm here.
Hey, Melissa, you do want to come in and talk about Spy? You can promote your movies on this podcast.
Oh, yeah, no thanks.
All right.
People who watch Gilmore Girls probably don't know who I am.
Yeah, probably not.
Yeah, whatever.
Unlike me, American superstar Vin Diesel.
Oh, I love Furious 7.
Thank you.
That was just like good escapist
Thank you.
Cinema.
Yeah, it's great.
Yeah.
I can't wait for the Best Picture Oscar.
Hey, we should do a movie together.
Let's do it.
Okay, let's do it.
We can call it Sookie and Vin.
Sookie and Vin. I think I could get used to that. Okay, let's go. Let's walk off holding hands now.
Can we have our mics back? What are you guys doing?
This is outrageous.
This is really rude.
Sorry, not sorry.
I'm not sorry about it at all.
Wow, they got real sassy at the end. Okay, get out of here, guys.
Okay.
So, Gilmore.
Girls.
Guys.
I like that scene of Trix and Emily. Just two kind of lonely, kind of strong, prideful women who have difficulty communicating, trying to. And Emily saying that olive branch, I just thought was very, very well done.
Yeah.
I found myself getting lonely. And I don't care for being lonely. It's quite annoying. So many years ago, I met a man, and he became my companion. Tonight, both he and I were publicly humiliated, and our relationship altered forever. Can you imagine how that feels?
Actually, I've had a little experience with being humiliated in front of the people I love, yes. Mom, please believe me. I know how important your pride is to you, and I never had any intention of robbing you of it. I feel terrible that I caused you any pain. I just wished that once in a while you might feel a little bit terrible that you caused me pain. I have pride too, you know. And my husband travels and is very busy, and I miss him, and I'm lonely sometimes. Just like you.
So let's rate the episode. I enjoyed it. It was good. It wasn't exactly filler, but it's just like, I guess at this point, what I'm noticing is like, it's the difference between a Paladino episode and a non-Paladino episode. I can't think of a big, unless I'm being stupid, I gave like a huge rating to a non-Paladino episode, but non-Paladino written episodes are just, they lack a little bit.
I think it's because they give the Paladinos take the episodes that are the big, key marks of a season. Like, the ones that, like, oh, this is the one where Rory goes to Chilton, or this is the one where the wedding is called off. Just the big ones that are, like, if you're summarizing Gilmore Girls, you hit those episodes. Those are all Paladino ones.
Yeah, you don't do Rory goes to Dean's hockey game.
This is the one where Lorelai fishes.
And watches Kirk make weird biblical allusions.
Oh, yeah. We didn't even talk
about... We should have started the job count. I mean, let's try to do it now. He worked at the video store.
Pie store.
He worked at the pie store.
Beauty store.
Beauty store. He worked at... Did he technically work as a DSL guy, or is that a different guy? We'll say it's a different guy.
Yeah, because it's Mick.
He worked at... Shit, this is shameful. Someone tweet us all the jobs Kirk has done at this point in the episode numbers.
Don't do that.
Yeah, no, someone do that. Demi wants it.
No, I don't.
But yeah, that was fun. So I'm going to give this episode a solid 7.5 out of 10 Picasso slides.
I'm going to give it
Because as we know about Picasso...
It's obscene.
Now, those aren't necessarily breasts. They could be cannons. I'm going to give this episode 7 out of 10 quarters. Oh, no, I mean periods.
That's really funny.
Because I think it's a good episode. It just is sort of lacking something in the importance department. I think it's very funny. It's a good episode for Trix and Emily. It's an okay episode for Lorelai. Bad episode for Jess. Okay episode for Rory. Great episode for Dave. We didn't even talk about the brief scene of him running to the hockey rink.
Oh, wasn't that cute?
It was adorable.
Yeah.
Part of me was like, chill out, Dave. Part of me was like, you go, Lane.
Well, because he wasn't doing it. He didn't do anything crazy. That was the gesture. The gesture was him running in the 15 minutes.
Yeah.
That, you know, it's not undoable. It's Stars Hollow. Everything's like right next to each other.
Right. They said it was a mile away, though. And I was like, okay, it's around the corner.
Yeah. It's not a mile away.
It's in the school, I'm sure.
Yeah, so that was great.
Yeah. But, yeah, it's an okay episode. It's an okay ep.
It's true. but it was worth it for lines like...
Yes, because she's embarrassed. She should be. He was dressed like a bookie.
Bookie.
Just everything. Finally. I should have just soundboarded.
She sounds like a chainsaw. Finally. I got her.
Finally. Emily. Hey, let's do where you tweet, I will follow, which now we can remember because of that great cross stitch that Carissa made for us.
Yep.
Kevin, at Kevin T. Porter, everywhere, everything, but specifically MySpace.
Funny enough, I'm also at Kevin T. Porter on every social network except for MySpace. Mm. Someone else got to me before that.
That's why I prefer that one.
Yeah. You can also find me at Electro Lemon on anything.
It wasn't me.
I hate you so much.
You follow the show at Gilmore Guys Show on Twitter, at Gilmore Guys Show on Instagram, Facebook.com/Gilmore Guys Show. Leave us a review on iTunes, subscribe to us there, and stay tuned to our Twitter and Facebook if we haven't already put up the ticket info. I'm sure by the time this episode comes out, we will have.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah, definitely. But it's going to be great. And but this episode will come out before the live show. So if you can make it out, please do if you're in the Los Angeles area. And I think this
tell your friends.
Yeah, tell your friends. I think this is important to point out. If by some miracle we do sell out the show and it says sold out on the website and you're not available, you're not able to buy tickets on the website, what you can do is go and put your name on the wait list at UCB.
Mm-hmm.
And you'll almost definitely get in because they do pack people. They can only, because of like fire code and legal stuff, they can only sell 85 tickets because there's only 85 seats. But they can seat people on the floor and on the sides and on standing room. And so the goal is to pack it out and really show, yeah, just really toot our gilly horns.
Right.
That was a dirty sentence.
Toot our gilly horns.
That was a...
dirty.
Sentence.
Dirty.
It's so hard to like scroll.
You know what I think about that sentence?
I have a guess.
It's obscene.
You are correct.
But yeah, so stay tuned. Gilmore Guys Live, colon, it starts all over
town meeting.
That's a fun title,
it
right?
Is.
It's on brand.
It's a good one.
Yeah. So until next time, you beautiful gillies, we'll see you further down the road.
And if you're out on the road, feeling lonely and so cold...
Well, I mean, all you have to do is call my name.
Will you be there?
Well, not on this train. I won't be here on this train. I'll be there on the next train.
Choo-choo.
Where you lead.
I will follow.
Anywhere.
That you tell me to, I mean.
If you need.
If I need.
Me.
To be with you?
I'll follow.
Oh. See, where you lead,
I will follow.
I will follow.
Yeah, anywhere.
Anywhere.
That you tell me to.
If you need.
You need me?
To be with you.
I will follow.
Where you lead. If you follow.
Where if you follow. Lead. I will follow you anywhere. That you tell me to, if you need me to be on the road.
You did the harmonica.
Harmonica's the best part of the song.
I will follow
where you lead.
I will follow. This is a different podcast now.
It's Sanford and Sons.
Follow.
You're out on the road, feeling lonely and so cold. All you have to do is call my
ben,
name.
Ben, get back in here. You gotta sing this with us.
Oh, I gotta do it.
Choo choo.
Where you lead.
Yeah.
I will follow anywhere that you tell me to. If you need, I will follow.
Oh, vroom.
Oh, yeah, I like that.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
That's kind of like your movie, Vinny.
Fury 7.
Can I call you Vinny?
No.
Okay.
Anywhere that you tell me to, if you need. You need me to be with you.
Fury I will 7 follow.
In theaters now.
Fury 7 in theaters now.
Vroom, vroom.
I like that song.
He's French.
Try a plum, they're better than sex.
What is she?
I don't know, American. You know what she
Worry.
Is? She's family. That's what she is.
Goodbye.